Good evening. Welcome to the program. Glad you are with us. We're going to have a panel tonight on the dangers that are facing many of our young people, many of your children, many of your grandchildren, your niece, your nephew, your next door neighbor, the kids in your community, your church, sex trafficking. Not a uplifting topic at all. Not one that I really want to talk about, but it's absolutely vital due to the volume of children that are going missing every day, not only in America, but around the world. Even in the news today, a report of U.S. Marshals finding numerous children who had been missing and apparently were being sex trafficked. That's just in the state of Colorado. It's a $150 billion a year industry. We'll get to that tonight. And you might want to pay attention, invite some friends to tune in, parents, grandparents, pastors, police officers. We heard from one of our panelists last week who is a retired detective and state trooper on just how inadequately trained most of our law enforcement are on this topic of sex trafficking. Before we go to our panel tonight, and we will take your calls tonight, I first want to go to a guest who is, representing many railroad workers. Mr. Cardwell joins us tonight. He is a union representative, and we are talking about the looming strike, December 9th. Well, supposedly today, something passed in the Senate. I don't know that, frankly, that has really any authority or power. We'll find out. I mean, because how is the U.S. Senate going to force people to get up out of their bed and go to work? I don't think they're going to do that, are they? I'm not so sure this is really going to have effect, but again, I'm not the expert on it. That's why we're having on Mr. Cardwell tonight. Sir, welcome to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, Brendan.
Great to have you on. Tell our audience your full title. It's a rather lengthy title. I think they're trying to find enough space to put it in the lower third. It's a long title. But tell our audience the title tonight, sir.
Sure. I'm the general president of the Brotherhood of Maintenance Away Employees Division. It's a sect of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, and I represent the about 27,000 hardworking Americans, some of the hardest working people out there. They do all the track maintenance and rebuilding of tracks, track substructures, tunnels, bridges, things like that. They're very talented and high-skilled workers. And we ran into this problem over the week here where our strike was just stopped by the Senate and the Congress. And we definitely have take exception to it because they didn't meet some of the needs that we had been negotiating for.
They did not, or they did?
They did not.
Okay.
They failed to meet some of the needs.
Now, the Senate, that's the news today, has stepped in. Does this have to go to the House or just the Senate?
So it already went through the House. It was passed by the House, by the way, and for a close vote. It was a bipartisan vote in the House, and then it was passed over to the Senate. The Senate, we couldn't get the 60 votes that you need to get in the Senate. For legislation or for a resolution is what it's called. And so it failed ratification. We got 52 votes, but we couldn't get the full 60.
Okay. What power does that really have? I mean, again, as I said in the opening statement, what are they going to do? Go around and tell everybody, get up out of bed, you're going to work? I mean, does it really have any authority? What are the punitive damages onto the railroad workers if they don't show up to work?
Yeah, so first there was two bills, and in the first bill that passed did stop us. It did pass, and it did stop us from striking. What you're implying is what they call a wildcat strike, and so our strikes in our industry have to be sanctioned. Unfortunately, by the law, you can't sanction a strike because the law's been passed that says that we can't. So I can't condone, nor will I publicly, that there's a that we're authorized to just not go to work in the morning. I understand what you're referring to, but that's not something I can legally allow to happen.
Right. So it's also referred to in some industries as a sick out, I think.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. So again, we're not encouraging people to break the law. And of course, we're not encouraging you to say anything that's going to make the problem worse. But I guess I was just saying from a common sense standpoint, if the workers aren't happy and don't show up and they all call in sick, In other words, it doesn't mean that you can't still have problems coming up here.
Yeah, we have a big problem. The rail industry is vital to the infrastructure of America, and the products that are hauled on rail are extremely important. We're talking about We're talking about the chemicals that keep our water clean and the coal that keeps our, you know, electricity, the fuel. About 30% of freight is hauled by rail. And so if rail were to shut down, there would definitely be a problem. And our members have become very, very essential. This has become a very widely spread news story because there was a potential rail strike. Yet they couldn't give us the simplest of things that we were asking for. And it was actually just 7 days of sick leave. Our members don't get any, zero. So, and more than that, if you call in sick, you have it put on your personal record and you could be terminated or discipline up to and including termination. So our members were demanding sick leave. We negotiated for it and it was rejected. It was rejected by the carriers, and the carriers, the railroad carriers, have begun quite large. They've merged to where there's just a few very, very large carriers that control all of rail freight. And ultimately they knew that Congress would step in and stop us because they historically have and depended on that. And so it really hinders our leverage to get what we need for the members in negotiations.
Yeah. Logan, have you let our panel in that's coming up next? Logan? Yeah, let them in. They're wanting to get in. So, Tony, let me ask you this. Has there been a misconception by some Americans? I mean, when you hear unions, it depends, I guess, on how you're raised, if you've ever belonged to one. But sometimes people hear unions and they think, oh, this the organized labor, sometimes these are groups that are, you know, their union dues are going to fund liberal things, and they're run by people that aren't always maybe as conservative as another group of Americans. Is this something where people can look at that and have that reaction, or is that a misunderstanding of what's going on here? In other words, is this as politicized as some maybe want us to believe?
Yeah, look, I'm a conservative Christian myself, and I'm the president of our union, of a 23,000 person union. Most of our members work in these states like Nebraska and Iowa and, you know, Texas and on and on and so forth. And so we have Texas is a great example. We have thousands of members in Texas, and you know how the members in Texas are. So right. These are hardworking individuals.
So these are not liberal people using the power of the union and power of a strike to put it to the man, if you will. That's what I'm kind of getting at. There's something more going on here, right?
No. Our members are some of the hardest working, and the railroads have become, you know, where I can support capitalism, the railroads have become somewhat of a vulture capitalist type system and structure. They've become a duopoly, and they've merged to where they have complete control, and they have control over a lot of our public servants in the Senate and the Congress. Obviously, I mean, they were able to stop them from giving us sick leave, which is just a basic, decent human right.
Yeah, and I want to get into that. I want to get into that. What is it in particular you're asking for, and why is that such a big deal?
We were asking for 7 days of paid sick leave, and the big deal is because the pandemic, our employees they fell ill or they were being quarantined during the pandemic. And by the way, the carriers were mandating vaccines against our members' will. And a lot of our members were forced to go against their will and to maintain their employment, they were required to get a vaccine. And they did this because they claimed that they were federal contractors. So they utilized the Biden mandate to force our members to vaccinate. And in doing so, they now are denying our members one of the other benefits that go to federal contractors. And that's 7 days of paid sick leave.
So they want to have it both ways. They want to have it both ways.
It's a classic, you know, we want our cake and we want to eat it too. So,
but let me ask you this. If you give these guys the shot, when we're seeing studies that show the people that are dying are the vax, this is a pandemic of the vaccinated. We've got many cardiologists that we bring on here, like one of the most premier cardiologists in the world, Dr. Peter McCullough. We bring on a lot of other medical doctors on this show. They're talking about how dangerous the shot is. We've been talking about it since early 2020, that this was going to happen, with people like Dr. Judy Mikovits and others. So the point is interesting. They want you guys to go and get the shot, But wait a minute. What if some of your folks start getting sick and having myocarditis or pericarditis or other issues related to the shot? Now they don't want to give you the time to go to the doctor to deal with the consequences of taking the shot?
Not only can you not go to the doctor, and a lot of our members feel the same way you do, not only do you not get to go to the doctor, you actually, if you take the day off, it will be marked on your record, and ultimately you can be disciplined for it. So it's not even just about if you don't get paid, it's about not having the ability to even call in sick, because you could ultimately be disciplined up to and including termination if you do so. So,
but again, I guess I don't understand, why is paid sick leave a problem? Why is it? Is it because the workforce so small that if they allow this, sure, that's going to be a problem? I mean, why is this an issue?
This is something that should concern all of your viewers, in my opinion. And and I'll break it down if you give me a minute here.
Yeah.
Here's what we have. The railroads have gone to an operating system called precision scheduled railroading. It's important for Americans to know this because railroads run through major cities and communities in America. And so you have this operating system called precision scheduled railroading. And what it has done is created an operating system in 2016 where they've cut back to bare bones. We've lost about 40,000 unionized rail workers in America, and the traffic hasn't been reduced. So they didn't cut the employees because of a lack of traffic. They cut the employees to cut their cost. And in doing so, you have no backup anymore. You have no backstop. So if an employee falls ill, the train doesn't get moved. If an employee falls ill, the gang doesn't get the work done. They don't have anyone to do the work if somebody is ill. So they've started these draconian attendance policies that force our members to be at work. If you call in sick or don't come to work, you will become, you know, you will get in trouble. And some of the crafts in the railroad industry are on work on the road, and they get home 1 or 2 days a month to see their families because of the input, you know, the restrictive attendance policies. So this is concerning for Americans, and this is why. When you have these type of operating systems, what you now have is you have these employees that are extremely fatigued, that are running these trains through, you know, cities that we're talking thousands of gallons of chlorine that could cause major, major damage. And it's alarming. And the railroads are doing this. They're doing this, and they know they're doing it, and it's dangerous. And so you have the situation that has been caustic and potentially dangerous, and the carriers have gotten worse, not better. So it's becoming a problem, and it's starting to cause problems with the supply chain as well. Let's just use Union Pacific, for example, the largest carrier. Union Pacific had 26 embargoes in the last couple of years. This year they had 820. That means that they're not even getting product to the shippers. They have major, major problems. And they're becoming more and more of a problem for the supply chain as well, and that's a problem for our economy. So the railroads are doing what they want to, and the federal government is backing them up. It's frustrating.
Well, I would guess so. Okay, so Tony, where do you see this ending, and how do you see it ending? When and how?
Well, look, we're not going to stop fighting for sick leave. Now that the contract has been imposed on us, it's going to be difficult. But we're going to continue to fight for sick leave. We're also going to be challenging the railroads, and that's for the general public and safety. We as union members believe and care about our communities. We believe that they should be protected and that they should be safe. And so if the railroads want to operate in our communities, we're going to make sure that they're operating safely and that they're doing what's right. So we're going to be making sure that we work with some of the regulatory systems that are in place to assure that they're doing what they should do. Now, while I'm not a proponent of overregulation and those things, there's the bad side of that too, where there's no regulation, and we've gotten to that place where the railroads, where they can literally do what they want because they have so much control over the economy in America.
Well, we see that same thing, Tony, from what I understand, with the power companies in America. My friend, former CIA analyst, Dr. Peter Vincent Pry, who sadly passed away this last August, sat at this desk many times, and I produced his radio show every week. I produced his TV show, talked about the many, you know, 2,000 plus energy companies in America, and we could harden the grid, but they don't want to do it. And they have such strong lobbies in Washington, they can get away with not hardening our grid from an electromagnetic pulse. It seems as though this is a common theme I'm hearing in America's infrastructure, and I would put our rail car and railroad industry inside the infrastructure of America that's so crucial, whether it's the power or whether it's the railroad. It seems as though they have an awful lot of power, and what I'm hearing is whether it's hardening the grid or doing other things, maybe these companies have become so big with so many lobbyists that they can do pretty much whatever they want.
It seems to be a problem, and it's alarming because we thought we had the support today, for example, just to get our employees something so simple as sick leave. We thought that we had the votes, and then we started seeing some of the people that it seemed like they were going to commit to us and vote for this, the sick leave that we were asking for, move away from us when the railroads moved their very, very well-paid lobbyists into D.C. I'm there myself. And so we had just some of us walk in the halls trying to talk to some lobby. We had about 10 people total. And then we knew that the railroads got literally, you know, all kinds of lobbyists, the Chamber of Commerce, and then all of their own lobbyists walking the halls and lobbying. And we knew that they've got a very, very tight grip on some of our public servants. And what's funny and what's disappointing, it's not funny, it's quite frankly, it's sad. What is a real concern and should be a concern is when our public servants stand with these giant duopoly corporations over their own constituents. Because remember, my union, for example, represents 27,000, but the railroad industry, we have about 115,000 members that were involved in this negotiating round. These people live in these senators' territories, and there's no reason in the world that they shouldn't have supported them. Instead, they supported these gigantic duopoly companies and their initiatives and their agenda.
Wow. Keep us posted, will you please?
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me on as well, Brian.
No, I appreciate your coming and explaining all this to us, trying to keep it straight and let the people know what's going on. Thank you so much, Tony, for being with us.
Thank you.
Tony, checking in tonight, very important topic. We told you last week and over the last few weeks, we keep you abreast of what's going on, and there you go. Great guest.